Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's it like to be a plastic surgeon? Who gets plastic surgery and why? What are some of the challenges plastic surgeons face? And what are some of the joys of the profession? Let's go in depth with Dr. Ron Bergman with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. Well, Dr. Bergman, where are you from?
Miami Beach, Florida. And I've been here about 35 years now in Des Moines, Iowa.
And you're just starting to work with Knoxville Hospital and Clinics doing plastic surgery, right?
Correct.
A couple of months here?
I've been here a couple months now, that's right. And I should be coming down here hopefully once a month, and if it gets busier, maybe twice a month.
Well, how's it going so far?
Very nice, very nice.
And most of your practice is in Des Moines, or do you do...
Well, most of it's in Des Moines, but between my partner and I, we have other clinics, and we go to... Central Iowa and some out a little bit of Western Iowa as well.
Well, this is sort of like, I don't know, it's the contemporary model of healthcare. You don't need a plastic surgeon on staff every day, and so you move around to the different places as you're needed, right?
That's correct.
If that's efficient, right?
Very efficient, very efficient.
You have a lot of miles on your car, though.
Well, we don't really think about it, but we do.
Yeah. Well, what got you interested in plastic surgery?
I got into plastic surgery by one of my mentors. I had not planned on going into it. I was going to go into obstetrics and gynecology. And I did a rotation with a world-famous plastic surgeon who actually was in Des Moines, Iowa. And unfortunately, he killed himself in 1991. And people might remember him here. His name was James Stallings. And they made a movie about him in the mid-80s. And that's how I got interested into plastic surgery, and I never left Des Moines.
Well, he must have been an inspirational yet troubled man.
That's correct.
What about him made you so interested in plastic surgery? His teaching style, his commitment?
Well, his teaching style and commitment were definitely there, but there was one thing I didn't realize about plastic surgery. Plastic surgery, you're only stopped by your imagination. We could do just about anything that we think about, we could do. Or we could at least attempt to do it, and eventually we're able to carry it through. And another thing is we can operate from the top of the head down to the toe. In reconstructive surgery, we do all kinds of things. For example, we do trauma. I was the director of the Mercy Limb Trauma Microsurgery Center for 20 years, and we would get traumatic injuries or amputations of hands and fingers from Iowa and beyond Iowa. And we do a lot of burn surgery. We do take care of a lot of initial burns and then secondary burn reconstruction. We do congenital deformities, and we do a lot of breast reconstruction and facial surgery and facial fractures and trauma of that nature. So it covers a wide range of things. And that's, I think, really what got me interested into it.
Well, is it the same sort of underlying principles with it all, or is it, do you have to learn like a new discipline with every one of those things that you described?
No, that's not true. That's a good question. I think the basic fundamental surgical principles are there. But obviously when we're doing a hand and the face, it's a little different. There are certain basic things that we have to know for the face and certain basic things that we have to know for hand. But the way the body heals and the way we move tissue around are going to be the same.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about plastic surgery with Dr. Ron Bergman with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. It just amazes me that if I'm out with my chainsaw and chop down a tree and chop off my hand, you can attach it.
Absolutely. And what fascinates me, too, about 20 years ago was the first time I did this. It's called a free toe-to-thumb transfer. Obviously, a gentleman had an amputation of the thumb. We attempted to put it back. And sometimes the trauma is so severe that it won't survive. So I was able to take his big toe, and I made him a perfect functional thumb.
Well, then that's just...
It's fascinating.
Oh, yeah, it's fascinating, and it's critical. I mean, just the thought of not having a thumb, I mean, it's just such a major, major lifestyle change.
It is. The thumb is 50% function of your hand. So without the thumb, the hand's pretty, it's useful, but not clearly not as useful.
So let's just say that, I mean, some things are probably pretty routine. If somebody wants something cosmetic done, you're probably ready to handle that, and you probably know what's going on. But there has to be a different kind of adrenaline rush when somebody says, we've got a severed limb.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What do you feel like when they say, got a severed limb?
I hate to say I feel up about it, but I do. But that adrenaline rush is to help this patient. And all kinds of things we do. Matter of fact, dog bites. I have seen more dog bites this year than I think any year that I've been in practice. As a matter of fact, I was on, I think it was in April or May, I was on Inside Edition with a patient that had half her nose bit off by a dog.
Well, I saw that news story.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And the way we reconstruct it is fascinating, too. And there's many, many options. And we pick an option, and we go with it. And if that doesn't work, then we go to option two. So that's what I like about plastic surgery. I mean, you're never there's always something we could figure out to solve the problem.
Well, and some of this stuff, I mean, that's horrifying. I mean, in terms of the victim of something like that.
Oh, it is.
It's terribly traumatic.
It is. It's very traumatic. And the nice thing about plastic surgery, people think that it's, you know, pretty much facelifts and make people look good. Well, that's not true. What we try to do is have these people function as well as they can. We try to bring back that quality of life that they had before the injury.
Well, now you're making me think all I know about plastic surgery is like Hollywood.
Well, unfortunately, that's what people think of. And that's the way, you know, the media has made it look. But there's a lot more to plastic surgery than just how you look.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I guess I knew that a lot of this other stuff happens, but I guess the cosmetic stuff and a lot of what seems to be sort of not very important cosmetic stuff, that's what we see in our Hollywood starlets.
That's correct.
But that's not the majority of your work.
Well, I would say, I mean, we do a lot of it. Don't get me wrong. I would say probably 50-50. Mm-hmm. It's more the cosmetic things that keep the lights on, so to speak.
Okay.
And, you know, and the other we just love to do.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about plastic surgery with Dr. Ron Bergman with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. The traumas is pretty clear. I mean, you're just going to go in, you're going to make the right decision, restore functionality and looks, right?
Correct.
All right, so what about elective kinds of cosmetic surgery? How do people come to those decisions, and what kinds of advice do you give them?
Well, that's a good question, because we have to spend time with this patient, and we have to figure out if they have realistic expectations. Sometimes people do not have realistic expectations, and they want this cosmetic surgery thinking that's going to make their life better. It's not. So we do spend a lot of time with them to make sure that they're a good candidate for that type of surgery, whether it be a facelift, whether it be a breast enhancement surgery, or something like to that in that nature.
Well, yeah, there's, you know, if you're not feeling good about yourself, you're saying that cosmetically that might not, you might not feel better.
It may not be the avenue to go down, right? Correct.
Okay.
But then on the other hand, sometimes it will help. I mean, if there's really a need, if you see that this is truly a problem, it could help. But if people are not really happy with themselves, they're not going to be happy with cosmetic surgery.
So how do you determine that? You
know? Well, I think of 35 years of experience, I kind of got the handle on that already.
So you can have a brief conversation with somebody and tell whether they're going to be happy or not with what?
Well, I don't know how brief, but I would say 10, 15 minutes. I'll have a good idea if this is what they really want, if it's really going to make them happy. Or let's say they want a breast enhancement surgery for their husband or their boyfriend. Probably not a good idea.
Not a good idea. And how many women have you had to talk out of that, probably?
A lot. Right.
Wow. So, yeah, because you don't want to, I guess if somebody doesn't love you for what you are.
Correct.
Yeah, you need to probably get away from
it. Yeah, reassess that situation, right.
You not only do cosmetic surgery, you also do
psychiatry,
marital advice, correct. Things like that.
Right.
And so do you ever sit down with the boyfriend or husband and say these are unrealistic?
And I don't usually sit down with them. I sit down with the patient and let them make that decision. But they know what I'm saying.
And so then you become an advocate for them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You're in their court.
Yes.
And then they can go home and say what their husband or boyfriend
exactly.
wants is nonsense.
It's nonsense, right.
Wow. Well, when we talk about cosmetic surgery, what's the major sort of thing? What's your most common procedure?
I would say my most common procedure would be breast enhancement, liposuction, and what we call tummy tucks or abdominoplasties. I think those are the main surgeries.
Okay, and all with varying levels of complexity?
Correct.
Patient is different?
Every patient is different, right.
And are there different expectations for all of those, or do people have pretty much the same expectations?
Well, that's another good point, too. Like the boyfriend issue, if their expectations are that it's going to be unbelievable, not going to be a scar, it's going to be perfect, they're going to work out looking like a whole nother person, they're not a good candidate. They have to, and that's what we spend time with them, giving them these realistic expectations.
And so you might say, hey, you know, we're not going to make you look 30 years old again,
correct.
But I can tighten up your chin a little bit.
Right, I could tighten up your chin, I could tighten up your stomach, I could make it look better, I could take some of the weight off, but you're not going to look like your Playboy model. But some of them could, depends what they start out with, though,
mm-hmm.
you know.
All right, so lots of people with unrealistic expectations?
That's
or
correct.
A few? Lots.
No, I'd say a lot to have unrealistic expectations.
And so then it's in everybody's best interest for you to dissuade them from surgery.
Well, I wouldn't say everybody, but if we think that they're not a good candidate, we will dissuade them. Well, I just won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell them they have to go elsewhere. Because the problem with it is you're going to have an unhappy patient, too.
Yeah, afterwards.
Afterwards. And that's going to be a problem.
And you're going to go in with the best intentions trying to help them, then they're disappointed and it's
right.
your fault.
It's always your fault. That's right.
But the major... So when you do get somebody new and you get mm-hmm. a good patient and somebody that you can help, that must just be wonderful.
Oh, it's fantastic. It really is.
And so how does that feel? I mean, do you just say, oh, is that just another day at work? Or?
It is. It's another day at work, and I have a lot of pleasure every day from this. I really do. From the little kids to the elderly patients to the women seeking cosmetic surgery. I mean, I have a lot of joy every day.
Let's say that we're walking down the hall. You and I met walking down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Do you look at everybody different than
Unfortunately,
we do?
Unfortunately, I do.
You do?
I do.
You say, Bob, you need a lot of work? Is that what you're thinking
well,
when we're walking
I may
down
not
the hall?
Say that, but...
you might not say that, but you can think
I could
but
think it, yeah.
So you're constantly looking at people like they're sculptures that you
I do. I do. That's an interesting insight. I do.
You say, I can do this, I can do
right.
that. And it's all in your head. And you're
correct.
Standing in the supermarket line looking
oh,
around.
Oh, all the time.
Do you recruit from the supermarket line? You say,
well,
hey, you know, here's my card.
It probably would not be in good taste, but I'd like to.
But this part, it's such an ingrained part of you. You look at every one of us as potentially somebody you could help.
It's correct. I mean, and that because I do it all day long. I think about it all day long. So if I'm in the supermarket, I think about it in the supermarket.
Wow, and everywhere else.
Yeah.
Wow. And so what are you thinking about working at Knoxville so far?
I like it. I think it's a great little community. It's very nice. I actually know some of the doctors here. One of them in particular was a student of mine many years ago. So it's in Iowa and Des Moines and Knoxville. These are small towns, so a lot of people, you know everybody. So I actually do know people here.
And looking forward to serving the community?
I am.
What would you like to tell our listeners if they're thinking about some kind of an elective surgery? What should they think about, and what kinds of decisions should they make before they give you a call?
Well, I think if they're thinking about it and they've thought about it a long time, it's going to bother them. So my advice is to call us, make the appointment, and then we could discuss it. Because I don't think they're going to come to a decision on their own most of the time. I think more likely than not they'll come to the decision after we meet.
Okay, and every one of us, in your mind, is like a sculpture.
A sculpture. It's the clay waiting to be molded.
And you can do that.
That's right.
Thanks to Dr. Ron Bergman for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.